Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Cavaliers absolutely destroyed the Boston Celtics last night. Moving forward, I got a prop bet for you. Which series is going to be decided by a higher scoring differential? Golden State over San Antonio, which currently has a scoring differential of Golden State plus 38. Remember, they're up 2-0. Or Cleveland over Boston. They're currently plus 13. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game. We speak of the cream of the crop because you can't have a cream of the crop without a bunk crop. And Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, appearing on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, had this to say about his organization's approach to the end of the 2016-2017 NBA season.
Once we were eliminated from the playoffs, we did everything possible to lose games. And so if we did it up front, if we knew that this was a rebuild season and we just did it up front, then you kind of know what kind of team you have. And if you could get eliminated early and then start building momentum, you can finish, your season 30-10 and end up with a boatload of ping pong balls.
How did you tank? How do you,
you play all your young players?
Okay, that was it. But there is it you send out a memo or you just say?
No, because once a guy walks on the court, they're going to play the heart out, particularly the young guys, because they have something to prove. So, Dorian Finney-Smith, Yogi Ferrell, there's nothing you could say or do to them to say, don't play hard or try to lose this game. That wouldn't be right, and I don't think any NBA team would ever do that. But when you have Saleh Mesri shooting threes.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That's Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday regarding his team's approach to the end of the NBA season once they found out they were out of contention. Dibs, the fans. Okay, you're going to jockey for a better ping pong ball. I get it. But you're still charging them full price. You're still charging them full price to park, to eat, to drink, to buy merchandise, to sit in the stadium.
Gigantic middle finger from Mark Cuban. And I appreciate his candor and his honesty.
Absolutely.
And he's always been pretty honest as an owner of the Dallas Mavericks. But this is a straight up middle finger. You're telling them, I'm not putting out my best product. I'm still charging you full price. Parking's full price. Concessions, of course, full price. It's not like when you've got Saleh Mesri shooting threes, you get 20% off your ticket. So that, to me, is an insulting middle finger to your fan base, and it's a terrible precedent to set for the league.
And, Lo, Cuban makes a great point. You've said this time and time again when I've talked about tanking, particularly the 49ers the last two seasons. You can't convince these players to go half-assed.
No.
They're going to go out there, and they're going to do what they need to do because at the very core, you guys are the most competitive people on the planet. So you've got to be smart in your tanking, and that's putting the less likely to win players out on the court or field.
Yeah, let me tell you how this thing works, how the process takes place. Team's out of it. Owner comes to coach. Said, hey, we're out of this thing. I want to see what we have. The coach then is like—
That's how he phrases it. I want to see what we have.
I want to see what we have in the cabinets. Let's empty the drawer. Exactly. And the coach is like, well— I'm trying to win because it's my job on the line too. Owner says, hey, we don't have the talent for you to win. You're safe. Let's go see the young guys. Let's see what we have, and let's go see what we can do. I remember going through with that with Marty Scheinheimer. First year we won like four games. I remember sitting with Marty like, God, we're playing a lot of games. He's like, look, you're all right, but we got to see what we have. We got to see.
Don't worry about it, Neil.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Just be quiet, Neil.
I'm the coach. You just go play. Yes, sir, coach. Yes, sir. I got you, boss. Yes, sir. And so empty the shelves because and guys are still going to go play hard, like Cuban said. So the head coach, he's not going to run. He's not trying to tank off the game. He's going, trying to go and win. They put in the game plan. The effort's still there. You're still in the meetings. You're not cutting any corners. But then the talent, just not on the court.
Whew. That's some of the best radio you've ever done. by the way. I love that. The way you laid that out, that's the conversation. I'd like to see what we've got.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, I don't want to win. Well, you know, I'm trying to win games. My job's on the line. You're fine. Maybe we'll give you a one-year extension on top of it. You feel comfortable. Just do what you're being asked. Let's clear it all out now.
Right.
That's how you get it all out there.
Absolutely.
Very nicely done. Dibs, how do we fix this? How do we fix this problem? Because if we're going to perceive this as a problem and you're going to have 4, 5, 7 teams every year at the end of the season donking games off, Brooklyn comes to mind, resting 6 starters in the finale. What are you resting for? You're Brooklyn. You don't rest at all. But that's what we're having. Is there any way in your mind we could go about working to fix this? I know you've always mentioned European soccer and an approach they have.
In the idea of relegation. And even though you have relegation, you're still going to have games where teams just donk it off, as you would say, and they don't try to win. There's no foolproof plan, but if you have at least the threat of real punishment for being the worst team in your league, then teams are going to have to play like heck to avoid that. In the English Premier League, the worst 3 teams at the end of the regular season, you're out of the league. You go play in the lower level. The top 3 from the lower level get to come up and join the other 17 in the Premier League. Because there's that give and take each year, teams that are toward the bottom tend to play harder longer. There's a team this year that's so far in last place that they've all but given up. They're already going to be relegated with, I think there's 1 or 2 games left to go in the season. That's unfortunate. They can try as hard as they want, but they're still going down. Other teams, though, who are in 17th place, fighting to avoid the relegation zone, you don't have them doing what Dallas did, and it gives a better product to the fans, those who go to the game, and certainly those who watch on TV.
Could relegation work here for the NBA?
It would be difficult. I don't think it could work. I would love to say yes, but logistically, realistically, to take a team like Cedar Rapids in the D-League or Santa Cruz, we'll go with the local team. Santa Cruz does not have the stadium to support an NBA product. So what situation would you be in where you've got these D-League teams are owned by NBA teams anyway? You'd have to have independent D-League teams that weren't owned by NBA teams, and you'd have to have bigger cities to allow this sort of movement. So I don't think it would work in the U.S., but the very idea of it, the threat of losing your spot in the league, I love that because it gets teams to play harder longer.
I actually found a way to make it work. It came to me this morning. You're thinking that because there's no legitimate minor league system to serve as a deterrent. For example, you can't bring a D-League team up because they would just end up replacing the Nets and they'd get motorboated anyway.
Yeah.
You know what you do? You take what you've already got and you turn it into 2 leagues. You have the big boy NBA, which are the top 16 teams in the league, and then you have the FCS, the subdivision, like in college football, and it's those, the final 14 teams. So right now, the people allowed to play for an NBA ring would be Cleveland, Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, Oklahoma City, the 16 best teams. They would be allowed to play for the title. The other 14, still NBA teams, but they're NBA 2, they're NBA B, they're NBA subdivision, right? They're doing their own thing. Now, to make it interesting, you have crossovers. Every few years, Golden State's going to be in Philadelphia, right? You're not going to play everyone twice a year like you do now. You're going to be focused with the majority of your games at a competitive level. So if LeBron wants to rest, that's fine. He can rest. But you're going to be seeded like we've talked about before. Let's seed the top 16 regardless of conference. So let's break the NBA into 16 who are going to compete for the title and 14 who can't compete for the title. And they get no playoff. You don't get an NIT tournament or anything like that. You don't get any additional chance to make money. It's a punishment that you're down there. It's a punishment. And then every year, maybe it's 2, 3, 4, what have you, have the chance to move up and compete. You get extra games at that level. You're in the playoffs. They're all going to be in the playoffs regardless. You're going to use those 16 in the playoffs, but they're going to spend their regular season jockeying for position. Now, this came to me this morning, and I didn't try to flush it out 100%, but the fact that you just heard it, does it intrigue you? And more specifically, what flaws are there in that plan?
Well, I'd like it because it would force teams to continue to try to compete to be up in that upper 16. So maybe you take of the 16 in the upper NBA, only 12 of them at the end of the regular season make the playoffs, and then the 4 who don't, they go down to the lower 14, and then you have the lower 14 play out in a playoff. The top 4 would be promoted then to the big 16 the following year. You'd have to have some up and down movement,
of course,
year to year to allow this to work. But I like the idea of it because you would have Cleveland playing OKC, Houston, Golden State, Boston. The good teams would play each other more often. You wouldn't have to suffer through, you know, Golden State going to take on Brooklyn, for example, a game that you know is going to be a motorboating.
From the 510, Joe, would fans go pay to see this? No. Why wouldn't they? You're all still NBA.
Right.
Philadelphia is going to be Philadelphia, and they're going to continue to have certain games. You're going to have the interconference crossovers.
And their fan base still will support them. Yeah. Philadelphia fans still will support Philadelphia, even if they weren't in the big league. I totally agree with you. The biggest problem to me is I wrestled, and I look at seating, like you're talking about seating. I might have said, you know what? Football season went all along. I'm not wrestling right away. I just want to get in great shape. And I didn't care where I was seated, like Carter LeBron. And those boys over there knew that when Lil Neil got on the wrestling match, that number one seed, I was going to motorboat him.
No, here we go.
No, I'm just.
Don't make me call Mark Trice. I have his number.
Have we booked Kurt Angle yet?
I'm working on Marvin the Beastman Eastman.
42-0, 38 pins. Go look it up. Mistake. I'm talking about Cal High School. So at certain times, though, when you're seated like that, I understand. My only flaw to that, Joe, is like if LeBron does get in there, what would that do if they play against a team that's an upper echelon team and they already beat them? So what would your finals be? You might have a good team playing one of the worser teams because of the seeding in that way, though. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I know exactly what you're saying. And LeBron might sit there and say, you know what, we're not going to be worried about seeding so much. We're going to just be focused that we're ready come playoff time. I get that.
But it's
remember,
a harder road.
If you aren't jockeying the right way and you draw Golden State, would you rather have Golden State in round two or Golden State in round four? You'd rather have them in round four. That's going to have everyone on high alert. Now, maybe you don't go 16-14. Maybe you go 20-10. Maybe you go 24-6. Something like that. You're all still going to play each other. You're still the NBA. You're going to tweak the schedule a bit. Rather than Golden State play the one with the Nets in Brooklyn and then the one at home, maybe it's just one time they match up each year. And then it'll be in Golden State one year, and then the next year it'll be in Brooklyn. And that additional game that comes back into the pot can be used against one of the teams in your conference, right? So maybe let's say 24-6. You don't want to be bottom six, because when the NBA draft comes around, you're not entitled to those first six selections. You're going to be right in the pool with everybody else. And you'll have to tweak the draft, and I haven't thought this all the way out. But you can incorporate the idea of relegation within the NBA as it is. And you can start to eliminate the idea of not only competing for a title, but there are other, I don't want to say perks for the winners, but I want to say detriments for the losers, because the whole key here is to force teams away from this concept, to force them out of the idea of mailing it in like Dallas did while still charging you full price.
Agreed.
Or we can always do this. Stop charging full price. When you get into tank mode, if you're going to be the Sixers and come out and say, it's a process, we're not going to win the next 3 years, fine. I want $5 tickets. I want dollar dogs. I want $4 beers. I went $5 for parking. If you're going to still charge full price, forget you. That's what it comes down to. Forget you. We can jump back into this in a bit. And if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. But there were some big developments in Boston last night that are going to have ripple effects all the way through the middle of June. That's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, back in a flash, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Which version is this? Is this Lord Tyreek and Peter Guns? Nicely done. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Great to have you in on this Thursday. I always say that. What if I came in and I say, it's terrible to have you listening to us today? It's just terrible.
At least you'd be honest.
Yeah. Some people would appreciate that.
Wow,
90%
Dibs
would be like, forget this guy.
At least Ford and Bob be keeping it real.
Yeah.
Whoa. Keeping it 100.
Whoa.
Penske Auto Sales text line 95795. Ford and Bob keeping it 100.
And this, by the way, is Steely Dan. This is not whatever you said it was. They may have ripped off the beat.
Uptown. Lord Tyreek and Peter Guns.
Oh, incorrect. Steely Dan,
Ooh,
kids, you whippersnappers.
Kind of throwing a little bit here right now.
Well, I know there's multiple versions of this beat. Steely Dan originally. Yeah. I just wasn't sure which version the boys in the back
You're
were playing.
You're right, Joe.
You got me running hot, Joe.
What you're trying to do over there, Lo, is just provoke. You in your white pants.
I know, seriously. Hope you don't.
It's not Memorial Day yet, buddy. You can't wear white pants until Memorial
April.
Day.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it's 100% true. You don't wear white after Labor Day.
That's kind of gone out, actually. Yeah. Not gonna lie.
Has it?
Yes. It has.
Step
okay.
up, Miss
You
want to
break the rules a little bit with fashion. It's all good.
She's just stepping in to defend you, and it's very nice of her to do that. But the rule is no white outside of Labor Day.
Yeah, but when it's sunny here in California, you're a little. Yeah. You've gotten to get a little.
Well, every day you're wearing white. Green. I don't say nothing about it. Boom! Waves in your face.
It's genetic. It's more a shade of pasty.
Yeah, well, you like
all right, that's on
man.
Me. It got away from me. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game. Here's what we got cooking. The Raiders have been trending in the right direction for a few years now. This has been welcomed. And most importantly of all, they have found their franchise quarterback. This, year in and year out, is proving to be more and more difficult for teams around the league. They've got their guy. And now we are on the verge of that long-term, first-class contract that puts Derek Carr in that rarefied air, that puts Oakland Raider fans, the team in general, in that rarefied air. You've got the most important piece. Now it's time to take the big step towards winning a title. Problem, however, the hope was that both sides could reach an agreement before the start of the season. Start of the season's a long way off. But the report from Michael Silver of NFL Network just recently that Derek Carr is growing frustrated with the process. Now, I started tracking this on social media to see the reaction of Raider Nation, and frustration broke out. Naturally so. You want to hear that this guy gets his deal and you want to move forward. Dibs, level of concern here about a report like this. When you see a headline in mid-May that says Derek Carr growing frustrated with contract talks, level of concern 0 to 5, 5 being very, very concerned.
0.666666.
Beautiful.
Not even a 1, Joe. It's mid-May, and this is not Derek Carr saying it. This is a report from Carr Camp. It could be his agent. It could be Carr. It could be Carr's brother. But you're not hearing him speak into a microphone and say, I am frustrated with the Raiders in negotiations. If those words come out of his mouth and you see it, then my concern goes up to about a 2 or 2.5. But until we get to that point, I know Reggie McKenzie is going to be on the station today at 11:30 with JT the Brick, right before Speed Brick.
Speed McKenzie.
Right before Speed
Brick. Speed General Manager.
You're going to get answers at 11:30 today. And
Speed.
I think Reggie will give you an idea that there are negotiations that have
easy
at least started.
Pants.
And have gone on. So, Joe, I'm not concerned at this juncture. It is a little bit troubling that this hasn't gotten done yet. But remember, it is May, May 18th. We got a long way to go before this thing even becomes a story.
Lo, you've been in this business realm before. You know how this works. Is this just the back and forth? Are we on the verge in the next few days of hearing a report that the Raiders are growing frustrated with Carr's demands?
Well, I think you may, Joe, and here's the thing. It's April showers, May flowers. It's supposed to be flowers, Dibs, and he's supposed to get this contract. Here's what the Raiders have to be careful of.
You, Dibs, you idiot. You didn't know that?
I didn't know I was doing radio with Willie Stretch McCovey.
Stretch.
Totally. You guys know I'm good. I'm feeling good. But anyways, as I digest, if you think about, just look at everything what's going on. Going to Vegas. Not a place that a lot of people think that the Raiders should go. Not a lot of place that everyone's saying in the media, is this the best place to put young men with a lot of money in Sin City? The answer's probably no. And then you think about Carr, who he is, his background. Not that he can't handle it, because this guy's going to be a leader. And you see, you need him even more so now than ever, especially with the move that's coming up in some years. But if you think about what's going on, you say, is he going frustrated? Do you trust David? Do you trust Derek? Even though Derek's his brother, you think about his brother, he's not a guy that's going to lie. If he's talking to his brother about it, his brother's like, man, I'm disappointed. If you hear the information from his family, don't you think that it may be a little bit of truth to that? Because his brother and him, they have a great relationship. Here's the thing that the Raiders have to be careful about, because now if you look at what's going on in L.A. now, the L.A. Chargers, you have an aging quarterback in Phillip Rivers. His agent and his negotiation should be, if I'm Carr, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll play this 1 year. And our client says now he's going to play this year, but he's already thinking about L.A.
This is the final year of his deal. So if he would play this out with nothing else, the Raiders are resigned solely to giving him a monster contract extension or the franchise tag.
Right. So you put it, he's in the driver's seat, because Phillip's in year 15, 16, and you look at Carr now, L.A.'s 45 to an hour, 20 minutes from Bakersfield. So when you think about it, now he's not having to go to Vegas. Here's a guy that can be like, hey, you know what? I want to stay in California. I want to, you know what? I don't necessarily want to go to Vegas. And if they're not going to overpay me for the things that I bring to the table, leadership, commitment, all the things that they wish they had in other quarterbacks that they had here before him, and think about what he means to this organization. You overpay a guy like Carr, and his agent can say, this guy got hurt last year. You saw what happened when you didn't have him in playoffs. So we don't want to jeopardize. He wants some security. He doesn't want to jeopardize going out on the field because he's a guy that's going to lay it on the line. And what if he get injured again? His marketing power and his bargaining power diminished. So I think that there is a little truth to this.
From the 650 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, he might want to hold off until after they move to Vegas to get that tax break. A lot of people have suggested that. Yeah, it'd be a great tax break. But you're not going to hold off for 4 years, 3-4 years. That's a lot of money you're leaving
injured
on the table.
Absolutely.
Take what you can get now. Get what you can get now. The 3 years that I was in law school from 03 to 06 down in San Diego, I was interning for an NFL agent. That's originally what I wanted to do. Mostly low-level stuff, but I got to see the inner workings of how stuff like this works. And I can tell you firsthand how both sides are going to approach this. First of all, no deal ever gets done until you're up against a deadline, right? And they kind of came up with a makeshift deadline of the start of the season. So there's no real pressure on either side. This, what you're seeing right now, is a negotiating ploy. And it's Carr's agent. It's not Carr. I doubt he's frustrated. He understands how the business works. The agent is going to float this to Silver. Silver's going to report it. That's going to swing public opinion to Carr. Come on, Raiders, get the deal done. Sometime in the near future, you're probably going to see a report. Maybe it's with Reggie today with JT the Brick at 11:30. Where they say something like, you know, the demands are too high. Now that gives the Raiders position. The Raiders are now public with a position that, you know, Carr's maybe being too greedy. It goes back and forth. The bottom line is it's a bunch of pros here, and Reggie's done such a great job, and Carr's a smart enough guy that they're all going to realize we're not going to make this too contentious. It's not going to get ugly. We both want the same thing. We'll get something done as we get closer to the deadline. But this is the back and forth. This is negotiating. This is the strategy. If you're in Carr's camp, what you're pitching is Andrew Luck's deal plus a little bit more. Andrew Luck signed last year, 5 years, $123 million, $87 million guaranteed, $32 million signing bonus, an average of about $24.6 million per year. You're going to take that structure, you're going to add a little bit more to all those numbers because it's a year later, and you're going to go to the Raiders, and that's what you're going to pitch them. You're going to aim high knowing you're not going to get that number. It's going to have to come down a little bit. That's the back and forth of the negotiating. That's what they're going to sell you on. The Raiders are going to show you Andrew Luck's numbers. They're going to show you Derek Carr's numbers. They're going to show you all the good stuff and how they compare. Derek's better than Andrew here. Derek got his team to the playoffs last year. Andrew didn't. Derek was an MVP candidate last year. Andrew wasn't. Derek got hurt and the season fell apart. That's happened at times with Luck. That's why you paid him that much. You'll compare numbers and stats, and you're going to make the case that Carr is Luck, but better. And that's why he's deserving of Luck's contract plus more. On the flip side, the Raiders are going to come into this equation, and they're going to know that that's what's coming, and they're going to cut all those points down. They're going to say, well, Andrew Luck's been to more Pro Bowls. Andrew Luck's done this, this, and this. Andrew Luck has been to an AFC championship game. Andrew Luck has won playoff games. Derek hasn't. They might try to claim that Derek's injury at the end of the year shows that he's not 100% durable. And there's concern on their behalf that if they spend this much money, they might be investing in a quarterback who, unlike Brady, isn't necessarily an Iron Man. That's not to say it's true. This is just the negotiating. They're going to find a contract that's more to their liking. They might look in the Tannehill sphere, and what I mean by that, or the Bradford sphere, that $18 to $20 million range where it's kind of pay as you go, a little bit more team friendly. Carr and the agent aren't going to want that, and they're going to have to concede something in order to get a more player friendly deal. And it's going to go back and forth, and eventually right. You're going to get a deal. And I'm going to tell you right now, 5 years, $120 million, mark that down. And then when this is all said and done, come back to me and tell me what you think. 5 years, 123, 5 years, 125. Come back and tell me what you think. It's not, I don't need to be Nostradamus to figure this out. There's a blueprint for how this stuff works. The key for the Raiders is figuring how to make this work with Gabe Jackson and with Khalil Mack. And that's going to be another selling point. Well, Derek, we need you to be a team guy here because we've got, you want to keep Khalil, don't you? You want to keep Gabe, don't you? You wanted us to get Marshawn, didn't you? They're going to point to a lot of different pieces and say, we need you to be a little bit more team-friendly. 5 years, 120 to 125. Mark that down. I'm sure I'll be close once we get to it.
I think you're right, and it hopefully gets done sooner rather than later, because this is the kind of story you don't want to have drag out. You already have the off-field distraction of Las Vegas and the gigantic question mark that sits out there in the desert, and players haven't even had to really address that yet, because this story, it happened after the offseason was over. The Raiders were long gone. So this is going to be offseason, or off-field, rather, distraction number one. You don't want the Carr contract to be number 1A.
Yeah.
Well, by the time this season starts, do you feel that Derek Carr, franchise quarterback, is under contract for the foreseeable future?
No.
You don't think a deal gets done, really?
I think that Derek Carr has way more leverage than you guys are alluding to. Here's a couple facts. They're going to Vegas. They're going to pay him more than that, because he's just like, I mean more than this to the team. And here's the thing. Even if Reggie picked up the phone and say, hey, we heard you're frustrated. You know, hey, Reg, you know me. I want to get something done. I just want to play football. Take it up with my agent. And if he says those words, he's serious. Because he can't say, oh, you know what? Thank God, and I'm blessed, and I'm going to give you. He's not going to say that. The guy wants to get he's going to get what it's deserving. And you got to realize, his agent can go in there and pitch, look, San Diego's not that far away. L.A.'s not that far away, meaning they went out and got a draft. They went out and got receivers. You already talked about this upcoming defense. They got a lot younger. They're addressing the offensive line. Here's a situation where this quarterback, Phillip Rivers, is getting ready to be on his own way out, and they can push. This guy doesn't have to leave California.
If I'm Derek Carr's agent, I hand Reggie McKenzie a piece of paper, and I say, go ahead and hand this to Mr. Davis and let us know what you think about our latest offer. And here's what's going to be on that piece of paper. The following names: Terrell Pryor, Matt McGloin, Matt Flynn, Carson Palmer, Jason Campbell, Kyle Bowler, Bruce Gradkowski, Jamarcus Russell, Charlie Fry, Andrew Walter, Dante Culpepper, Josh McCown, Aaron Brooks, Marcus Tuiasosopo, Kerry Collins, Rick Meyer. And I'll stop right there. Right before you get back to Gannon, your starting quarterback list up until our client. Let's go ahead and give him what he needs so we can move forward in peace.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Chris Rose is the host of MLB Network's Intentional Talk. You can also catch him on the NFL Network's Game Day show. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Rose. He's joining Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Chris, good morning. I want to open with the New York Yankees and this red-hot start they're off to.
Hold on. You were just talking about my Cavs. I mean, I'm a Cleveland guy, so I was really interested in the discussion you were having and how Boston and anybody else in the East can stop them.
Jump right in. What are your thoughts?
I think the Butler play is better. I like that better than Paul George. If I were a Boston fan, because I would be concerned that Paul George would want to go elsewhere. He's got that weird clause in his contract that kicks in if he makes one of the top three, all NBA teams or something like that, and then the team he's with can expand the deal to an ungodly amount of money, something like that. So I'm not exactly super well versed on what happens if he gets traded from Indiana, and if that clause still holds true if he gets dealt to a team like Boston. I think the amazing thing is, and Reggie Miller said it last night on the broadcast, he's like, I can't believe LeBron's in his 14th year and is playing this well. I can't remember a guy in sports outside of maybe Tom Brady who's doing it at that age.
Well, it's funny you say that, Chris, because we were throwing this out in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, and I immediately threw out Barry Bonds, and we looked up his years. And, Barry Bonds obviously may have had some assistance along the way. We're still waiting for definitive proof on that. Let me know if you ever see any, Chris. But in years 16, 17, 18, and 19 of his career, he won the MVP award. So that's really, I think, where LeBron James is trending, not necessarily with help off the court, but with performance after year 14.
Right, and Barry Bonds did have one shot at it in 2002, and other than that, didn't sniff it. So you can't, and I know it's hard because, listen, I'll be the first one to defend baseball players. I mean, listen, the best baseball player we got going right now, Mike Trout, he's played in 1 October, and it's not his fault. But that's the thing, is that Brady's done it at the highest level on the biggest stage, and so too is LeBron. So I suppose that's the difference. And that other asterisk that is there.
Chris Rose.
I don't know what you mean, Chris.
Listen, you were asking me if I could look. Let me check out in my fridge what I've got out there because, you know, I use all that stuff. If you've seen my body.
Oh, yeah.
What I bring to the show every day, first of all, with the child birthing hips and all that sort of stuff. You know, most people say that they treat their body like a temple. Unfortunately, mine is like a temple of doom, what I've got going these days. It's ugly.
I thought we were going to go with the temple of the dog. I thought we were going to go to the grunge, but that was awesome, Chris.
Right.
Host of MLB Network's Intentional Talk and NFL Network's Game Day, Chris Rose with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. As a Cavaliers fan, you're on a collision course for the third consecutive year with the Golden State Warriors. What's your level of confidence in winning the series this year versus last year versus the year before? Everything's changed with Warriors fans throughout the last few years as the roster's changed. How is it as a Cleveland fan?
Not good. Not good. I think the Warriors have, in my opinion, four of the top 16 players probably in the league. That's a tough number to get by. And you know, Durant is a 7-footer that changes the game. You saw who dominated the game last night other than LeBron for the Cavs, and that was Tristan Thompson. You know, unfortunately, he gets kind of neutralized against Golden State because, you know, who's he going to guard? He can't guard Draymond Green out there. And that pulls him all the way away from the basket and kind of takes him away from what he does best. So it's a difficult matchup. Now, can the Cavs win the series? Sure, they could. I mean, they've got the best player on the planet, and anytime you've got that, and a pretty decent core around them, especially with a bunch of veterans that kind of understand their role, and they don't have to be playing regular minutes every game in order for them to be successful off the bench. You know, some people have tweeted at me last night, it's bad for the NBA if we get it three straight times. I'm not so sure it is. I mean, who else would you be entertained by right now? John Wall in Washington? They made a nice little step. The Celtics are kind of a cute little team, but they have a lot of issues on defense when you get Thomas caught in a switch. And Houston, we saw what they did. They laid down on their home court when the other team didn't have its best player. I don't want to watch that in the finals. So it's kind of what we're dealt, and it ain't bad. It ain't bad to see greatness 3 years in a row go at each other.
Agreed, Chris. Chris Rose joining us here on 95.7 The Game. As much as we get fatigued of Yankees-Red Sox in the early 00s when they would meet in the American League Championship Series or in the Division Series, it made for compelling drama. Is that something that baseball needs, you think, Chris, to have not necessarily the same team win year after year, but to have more rivalries like we had when we were kids, when it was Yankees against the Dodgers in the World Series, and you had not quite super teams, but you had really good teams?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I've got a different lens on this because I'm from Cleveland, but that was a pretty damn memorable World Series, right?
That was a good one.
Absolutely.
Right. It was really good, and it was, you know, maybe the greatest Game 7 we've seen in a long, long time. So, and nobody thinks of the Cubs and Indians as a rivalry, but they were two great storylines going in. I mean, yeah, you need to have, if you're a marginal sports fan of that particular sport, you need characters, you need storylines, and I get that. You know, a lot of people I work with at MLB Network are saying, well, why can't they people just love the game? Well, that's just not the way it works. You know, I mean, we love baseball, and we are ingrained in it every day. But, you know, I always use the litmus test as kind of like my wife. You know, she's around it. We've got two boys. She watches a lot of sports. But there's certain things she'll sit down and pay attention to a little more closely. And to me, that's kind of the litmus test for me.
Chris Rose with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It's interesting the conversation gets to the Yankees because the team is off to a rip-roaring start.
Yep.
Hal Steinbrenner said yesterday that he would consider being a buyer at the trade deadline should the team still be in contention, but he doesn't want to part with any of his top-level talent down there in the minors. Clint Frazier, one of the names that comes to mind. Now, from the Giant perspective, the team's off to a horrific start, and if they can't turn it around, perhaps they look to move a couple pieces, maybe one of those being pitcher Johnny Cueto. Could Cueto and the Yankees turn out to be a fit?
I don't know if I'm the Yankees if I do that because of the opt-out clause he's got at the end of this year. I think that's the thing that scares me. With the Yankees moving forward, they've got a great young core of everyday ball players. Their problem comes with the starting rotation because the three of their starters Tanaka can opt out just like Johnny Cueto can. Sabathia is at the end of his deal and probably won't be back. And then Pineda is a coin flip every time he's out on the mound, although he's been pretty good through the first 6 weeks this year, and he's a free agent as well. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of guys out on the open market that they can overpay if they choose to do that, and they might. So I'm not so sure that Johnny Cueto makes perfect sense for them. A guy like Quintana does to me because his and we're talking about the left-hander for the White Sox, because his contract is so club-friendly. And by the way, Steinbrenner saying we don't want to give up any of our kids, that's public talk. When it comes down to it, if they feel like they can win the whole thing, they'll do it. They'll pull the trigger.
Absolutely. Chris Rose with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We might as well run the full spectrum with you. You do some great work for the NFL Network on the Game Day program. You can be followed on Twitter at Chris Rose. The Raiders and Derek Carr, they're talking about a long-term contract extension. Carr recently came out, according to a report from NFL Network's Michael Silver, that he's, quote, growing frustrated with this process. Now, this is obviously, like you just said, public talk in an effort to get the ball moving. We know how these things work. But do you see both sides reaching an agreement by the start of the season? And based on what Derek Carr's done so far in his career and what we've seen paid out at the quarterback position, do you think he's going to top Andrew Luck's deal, maybe five for $125 million?
He could. Yeah, he could. But that's always – it's the next guy in line theory, right? Like, we don't measure contracts based on how good they guys are anymore. It's just when their deals are up. And I'm a big Derek Carr fan. I am pleasantly surprised with what he's done. My Browns had a chance to get him twice in that 2014 draft. Once they passed on him, they could have had him at, what, 32 or something like that. They traded up and they took Manziel, and don't wake me from that horror dream that I've got going on with that one. Don't tell me how that ends. So, you know, it'll get done. There's no way they want to get to the end of the year and they have to franchise tag him. That gets ridiculous. The guys changed the dynamic there, he and Khalil Mack. Just get it done. Simple.
That's what all of Raider Nation would agree with right there. He's the host of MLB Network's Intentional Talk and NFL Network's Game Day. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Rose. Chris Rose with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Chris, dynamite stuff. I'd like to wish you luck in the NBA playoffs, but obviously being here in the Bay Area, I can't. But thank you very much.
I don't understand that. I mean, it really isn't my happiness more important than your happiness and the happiness of your listeners and your community? Guys, it took me 45 years to finally celebrate a championship, okay?
Chris. Yeah, we were real thrilled for you. We were real happy for you, and
yeah, I can hear it.
We were pulling for the. You know, if we could have chosen, we would have chosen the Indians over the Cubs as opposed to the Cavs
right.
over the Warriors.
I get it.
That's without a doubt.
Basically, what you're saying is, hey, loser, get off our airwaves. Beat it, pal.
Oh, no, Chris. To be honest, it's all a good sport. We love watching you on TV. The text line right now going nuts about the best damn sports show and all the references to your career, man. They love you.
Yeah, well, you know what? Best damn sports show, period. The reunion show is coming up. No, it's not. People always ask me. I'd love to do one. I'd love to do it, but it's not my call.
That's maybe great stuff. I still think your best work is on BattleBots, but I'm obviously very biased.
That was a good one, too. That was a good one. You can go make a 250-pound machine, bring it over to the house, and I'll chop my lawn up with it.
I love it, Chris.
Thanks,
guys.
Chris. Take care.
We appreciate the time. Have a good one.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. You know what? I didn't want to get into this, but I have to get into it for at least a minute or so. If you listen to Clay Travis, you've heard all about this, and this is a popular topic. So we're going to spend about a minute on it, then we're going to get back to the NBA
Please.
Playoffs. Would you wear a male romper? Because that right now is all the rage. A male romper, for those who don't know, I don't even know. Can you help me describe this?
It's basically like a one-piece outfit for men, and they're shorts, a lot of them.
Shorts and short sleeves. So it's one piece. So what you would probably do is maybe it's zip-up.
Probably, yeah.
You would step into it and pull it up like it's shorts. It goes to mid-thigh, and then you would pull up the top of it over like a pair of just like a shirt, and then you'd zip up or button up. So short sleeves.
And someone's got to zip you up in the back. Like
you zip yourself up. It's in the front. You zip yourself up in the front or button yourself up in the front. But it's called a male romper because the females wear rompers.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Yeah.
The male version is now making an appearance. Would you wear one of those?
I'll pay $100 and get you. I'll buy it for you, Dibs, and you wear it.
Dibs, would you wear the male romper if Lowe paid for it and then also gave you $100?
What are the parameters for the wearing of the romper? Do I have to?
All day long. Got to go out. We're going to have to go out in public.
Got to go to Oakland.
Yes.
What part of Oakland?
All of Oakland. All of it.
I'm not going to directional Oakland.
Yes, directional.
I'm not going to directional Oakland, east, north, or west.
And we're gonna. And you have to make sure we pick up your kids from school, and you have to walk around the school.
That's okay, that's not worth $100.
Mean.
Now you're taking it so far.
Don't
be cheap. Now put a dime on it. Pay him $1,000 to do that.
Don't torture his children.
First of all, I don't pick up my kids from school. The carpool line is brutal. As you'll learn, Joe, as your kid gets older. Kid, either walk or take the bus. That line will kill you.
The way his mother essentially dates him, he'll probably be homeschooled. You should have seen this. Last night was the deadline to move him into his other room. No, we're not doing that. Because I was doing the whole thing. I was really hamming it up. I like picked him up after the game and I was walking around. It's been great having you in our room. We love you very much, but it's going to be a great experience. Aww. You got your own little balcony in here. You can hang out with the pets. She's just in the back fuming. He's not going anywhere. Not leaving. He's like, there's nothing even set up. Don't worry. I'll reel the crib right in right now. Take 2 minutes. Don't worry about that. Well, his what is it called? The thing that spins
the mobile.
Yeah. Right, the mobile. Yeah. Well, that's not in there either. I'll take this right out of the wall. Go hang it up. The whole thing will take 10 minutes. I can get the whole thing set up. He's not going anywhere.
You were on hard. That's
messed up. Yeah, because it's so hard. This kid will be homeschooled.
3 months old was supposed to be moving day, right? He was supposed to be going into a big boy room.
We had set up yesterday as the day. It's not like we said this in advance. It was just a couple weeks ago. She picked this Wednesday and was like, that's going to be the end. We're going to move him over. Day came. No, not happening.
First kid's so hard just because you get so nervous about the whole breathing thing. I think now I'm kind of anticipating this second kid. I think it'll be easier now. But yeah, it's so hard that first night.
Yeah. It's 17 feet away. I live in San Francisco, okay? The second room is about 17 feet away.
Right.
We're not moving him to the other end of the Loneal Estate. He's 17 feet away. Some would argue he's probably the equidistant going in this direction.
That's right. Well,
equidistant.
You got to see it's the first time, Mom. And it's good that you're giving her a hard time. She'll get used to it. Real quick, from the 510, it says,
oh, okay, you're going in the text line.
We can go to the Castro. Me, you, and Joe will go to lunch, and you wear the romper, and we'll buy you lunch there. Be good.
I'm okay with that. $1,000, though, you got to pay him.
I mean, are we talking the dime?
He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do the dime. Wants to give you $20.
My boy Ignacio.
And buy you a taco.
My boy Ignacio checked in with simply, no deal, hell no. So the price has got to be higher. My people
in
Oakland have spoken.
The male romper.
I'll do two. I'll give you $200. You walk. It's an all day. You got to come to work, be in the office, and just, you know.
Can I ask an awkward question?
What if we say no?
Well, I'm going to ask anyway.
Good job.
So then why start with the can I ask the question? Because now it's two questions.
That's all right. I'm going to go with it anyway. So how do you go to the bathroom in this? I mean, for a guy?
You have to get naked like a baby.
You're
completely naked
urinals.
To go to the bathroom in this thing.
Depends on your ability to access the lower portion of the pant leg. If you're able to hike and snake.
Oh, the snake, yeah.
Yeah, then you can work it out. Okay. Otherwise, you got issues. Now, if you've got Lowe syndrome, a.k.a. bubble guts.
If you've got the morning show burrito issue, affected quite a few of us.
Now you're going to have to zip out, step out, and hang the romper in the stall. You got to hang the romper.
You have to get naked to go to the bathroom wearing one of these things? Does it have the flap in the back at least?
I don't think it has a flap in the back. I don't know.
I couldn't wear one. No, I'm not. I would not wear a romper, Joe.
Why not?
It's not my
You don't have confidence?
No, it's not my cup of tea. Certain things you just won't wear.
Yet white pants before Memorial Day is completely acceptable.
I look good. You want me?
Subjective.
I'll wear a romper. My legs and everything, I'll put in a romper. Dibs.
Cam Newton wore one at Coachella.
That's Cam.
He looked good. He had the all the mala beads on his arm, and he had the Cuban cigar he was smoking, and he had the little fedora.
Everyone doesn't say he looked good wearing all that crust stuff he'd be wearing.
He said he looked good.
That's what he said. Everyone's talking about his clothes all the time. Westbrook, they talk about his clothes too.
Dab on them, folks.
Yeah. I can't wait to see you in that romper, dude.
You're not offering enough, though.
No, 200, Coach, is not no
and
deal.
And I'm buying the romper.
Ooh, wow, thanks. So I can, put it in our Goodwill stack the day after we wear it? My wife was just checking in on the personal text line saying, oh, I wish this was TV. I'd release the picture of you in that onesie pajamas from 94, Coach. It's so old.
Chanda, send that to me. Chanda, send that to me, please. Thank you.
You have there's a picture of you in what pajamas?
These like giant flannel onesie pajamas from literally 1995, probably. I don't even know if you were alive back then, Joe.
Yeah, I was kicking it around a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I wasn't driving, I'll tell you that much.
It's like trying to ask me to wear a singlet, wrestling singlet around town. That's a romper compared, with the legs and stuff. You just, just wouldn't look good.
You'd be spilling out of that
Absolutely.
Thing. Nobody wants to see that. No,
okay.
Oakland or San Francisco or San Jose.
Dude, just so or, yeah. Dibs is all frowning over there.
All right.
I think 500 is my starting point. If you
okay,
rip off,
the man has a number. Man has a number. Let's work our way. Let's pretend that you're Derek Carr and Lowe is the Oakland Raiders.
250 because.
Oh, now you got to come higher than that. You can't go 2, he goes 5, and you come back 250. That's an insult. Dibs, if I'm you, I walk away from the table.
I'm already thinking about walking. 500 yeah. is my lowest price I would
Dibs,
do it
but
for.
But listen, though, I'm going to buy you lunch.
Wow.
Two tacos.
I'm a vegetarian. Eight,
we can get
he's going to take it a house
49 of cents worth of lettuce and a tomato cut up.
I bought you the pokey. You love the tuna and the ahi.
Great. That was nice. Two tacos for $9. I'm not saying you're not generous, but we're talking about making a deal here. Derek Carr, we're going to give you $125 million. You know what? We're also going to give you your own parking spot. Thanks, Raiders.
$250.
Is that parking share. Spot guaranteed for the first 5 years?
$250 you can do a lot with because you're a man
Not
like
in this
me.
City.
Yeah. And Coach. You're getting the romper, and you're getting a meal, and okay. we all go together.
So to reset, Dibs is going to get a romper. He's going to get $250, and he's going to get lunch. Now, he's probably not going to get a very expensive lunch,
expensive
but you're
lunch
not going to get him a dirt lunch, right? It's going to be a nice lunch.
Well, something together, nice. All four of us. I'm,
well,
yeah,
I'm absolutely coming for this.
Thank
so
you.
I'm dining in the romper.
I'm on the tab, too. Because
Yes,
I,
you're
obviously.
Dining in the romper.
Oh, yeah, you're wearing it all day.
Yes.
No deal. I lost my appetite, Coach. Exactly. Please go on.
So
please
you have to
continue.
Wear the romper for the show in the morning. You have to show. You don't have to show up in the romper. You put the romper on here.
Yes.
Anna obviously parades you around on social media.
Exactly. Yes.
You do
live.
The show. You don't necessarily have to parade around the office. It just he does his normal work day.
Right. Work,
so he drops
work, yeah,
off his mug. He does the meeting.
Yes.
And then we go to lunch in yes. an area you'll determine, but it has to be agreed
a
to.
Yes, in a nice restaurant.
A nice restaurant.
Really nice. Yep. You can. And
okay,
you
now know, we're cooking.
So
Dibs, now
on
we're
top,
cooking.
On top of the 250, so you're talking about your meal can be
250 cash.
Get cash.
Not Bitcoin.
Yep. And
thank you.
And I'll spend.
Dibs wants to be able to spend
50,
it.
$50. Your meal give you $50. Meal, so you can, I want you to eat really well because you're wearing a romper, and you got to take pictures with
He's
going to
want drinks, too. I'd imagine he's going to want drinks as part of the meal. 50 is not going to be able to cover it. Two drinks could be 30.
Okay, I'm going to let you get drinks. That's a good deal.
Coach, we're not even – it's no deal. The deal breaker is the money, Coach. 250 is nothing.
Yeah, his base
okay,
salary needs to come
okay,
up
then,
low.
Then I'll,
I sweat out $250 over the course of a day, Coach.
All right, forget the nice lunch. I'll give you three. 300.
All right, here's what we'll do. We're going to regroup.
Yeah.
We're going to come back with some hoops. We're also going to come back with the finality of this and any of your suggestions for how we can get this done. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Dibs in a romper. Low. Too cheap? Should he pay more? Also, hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts at 957 The Game. Joe Low and Dibs. And a romper, possibly. 95.7 The Game. Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders are working towards a long-term deal. In this scenario, Lorenzo Neal is the Raiders. Dan Dibley is Derek Carr, but with a twist.
I'll say.
Have you seen this trend developing regarding the return of the male romper? The little one-piece outfit men can wear. It's like mid-thigh, cut off at the sleeves. You step into it, pull it up, whatever. I think we're going to put a picture of it up on our social media.
Right, I'm working on that.
At 957TheGame on Twitter, 957TheGame on Facebook. You'll see a picture of this. Now, on Twitter, we have a poll question for you. Is it acceptable to wear a male romper? This stormed into a lengthy conversation about whether or not Lowe could get Dibs into a romper, what his terms would be. So we're currently trying to negotiate terms. Dibs won't even consider it until we start at $500. Lowe came out at 100, predictably, then raised it to 200, and now is willing to kick around 250, but different things are being thrown in. Incentive packages. This
yes.
is just a base salary. A lunch is being thrown in. Possible round of golf being thrown in.
Drinks.
Drinks with the lunch are being thrown in. Dibs would have to wear the romper for the show in the morning, the post-show meeting, and then lunch. We would all go to lunch together, and you'd also have to be in the romper. Now, producer Cody also wants in on the deal. He came in enthusiastic wanting to wear the romper. So, Lo, I don't think there's a whole lot of negotiating you need to do there. Maybe $2. Maybe, maybe like you throw him lunch, and he's definitely going to be involved.
I can handle that.
No one wants to see that guy
if
in a romper.
If he's
Nobody.
Involved, I'm out. I'm officially out.
Oh, really? Okay, then Cody's out.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go dual romper action.
Maybe it could raise the price for you, Dibs.
I don't think so. Right now, I mean, I'm Much like Derek Carr, we are frustrated and discouraged with the process of these negotiations.
Why are you frustrated when I'm not trying to insult you? I'm saying we're getting a lunch. I understand you're talking about you want to up the price, but let me tell you what all you're getting. We already talked about it. $250, and I'm throwing in drinks, and I said maybe $300 since you said no. I'm at $300.
Okay, so $300 drinks and lunch, reasonable place that final. Dibs gets to choose. We'll let because he has dietary restrictions that he likes to follow. So we're not going to go someplace that he wouldn't want to eat. But we'd all have to agree to it. Something we can all have, but mostly what Dibs wants. And the neighborhood will not be directional Oakland. You don't want to be in a romper in directional Oakland.
Yeah, East, West, and North Oakland are all out.
Okay.
Central Oakland's okay.
Okay, so if I'm giving you that, then why can't you come on the why won't you go to those places? That's what I was going to take you. But you're saying no.
I've already come down on my price so far from $7.3 million. I've come way down from there.
Yeah, to about $1,000 is where he's at.
I've made a lot of movement on this deal. I'm not feeling the same movement on your side.
I've made movement. I'm going to talk. You know what I'm
going to do? That's pretty
good. I'm going to talk to Don. Petty cash. We can get some money out of this. This romper deal with you and a romper.
If you involve management, the whole thing's going to get screwed up. You understand that. We got to sit here. Okay. We got to figure this out ourselves. But if we bring in the listeners, Mark Violich, if I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sorry. But on Twitter, Mark Violich, he's going to throw in $100 just if he can come to lunch. Dibs, there are a lot of people willing to contribute to this fund. You have individuals
$400
with suggestions, individuals who want to get down. Here's from the 925 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. $500, Dibs choice of lunch, two drinks, and Dibs has to wear the romper with knee-high tube socks, high tops, and a fedora. Okay, that's not the end of the world, but you get your $500, choice of lunch, two drinks.
I have tube socks. I don't have a fedora. The fedora would at least give me some anonymity.
Eli from South City's throwing in $50 once you post to social media.
Yes.
$1,500 from the 925, and you wear the romper to D-Train's golf tournament. Dontrell Willis, I don't know if you want to do that.
That's not bad as long as I can swing the club. As long as it doesn't affect my takeaway.
I mean, if Anna, if you can find him a really nice romper and put him in a really nice situation where he actually looks good.
So can I? Oh, okay. I was going to pick a cool color for him, like maybe the pink or the polka dot.
Yeah,
that was
that's going to only drive his price up, though. If you make him look good, he's probably willing to take a more reasonable price.
I'll make him look good.
And for everyone on the text line saying how I'm involved, don't worry how I'm involved. I'm working as arbitrator, mediator, negotiator. All right? Don't worry how I'm involved. I'm taking my 10% lunch cut, and that's that. Someone needed to provoke this whole thing.
He's got to be able to do something, not anything bad, because it's not disrespectful, but for him to go and go do the carpool one day and get out of the car and go see your kids, I think that would be...
See, my kids can't be involved. That's a deal breaker. My kids, I've done...
Kids don't need to be involved. Kids don't want to be involved.
I've done a great job throughout my near 20-year radio career of not involving them in my embarrassments, outside of being their father, which is embarrassing enough.
It's a romper.
What if Lo throws $1 million in?
Different story. Different story, Questy. Get ready to be chagrined.
Albert in Santa Cruz wants to weigh in on the program. Anyone else? 888-957-9570. How do we close the deal? Lowe's the Raiders. Dibs is Derek Carr. Except instead of an NFL contract, it's lunch and a male romper. Albert, go ahead.
Okay, Lowe. I got the deal how you can close this right now, right here, right now.
Please.
Give him his price of $500. All right? But you take him to a nice lunch somewhere on Market Street. And then he has to give him a nice hat, too. I want a stylish hat. You know, the kind of hat you see over there when they have the Kentucky Derby, that kind of thing. And then he walks from that restaurant all the way down to the cash flow. That's worth $500.
Thank you, Albert.
Okay, Albert, we appreciate the phone call. We can get you a nice fedora in there. You could turn this into an outfit. I'm telling you, Cam Newton did this at Coachella. I'm not saying it looked good, but it didn't necessarily look completely foolish. And if you're getting paid on top of it, now you're not exactly built like Cam Newton.
No.
Some slight differences.
This is going to be awesome to
both color pigmentation and body mass.
There's one outfit in which I look halfway decent, and I wear it every day. Sweats and a T-shirt. So unless this is the new version of sweats and a T-shirt, your boy's not going to look good. And my embarrassment has a price.
831 wants to talk about incentives. Every 10 pictures, $50 added in.
That's not bad. The camera loves me.
Yeah.
Does it depend on who's taking the pictures, though? Because it can't be somebody random that's going to be clicking a picture, right?
Right. It would have to be a series of tasteful photos, somewhat tasteful photos. 888-957-9570.
Hurricane Gale weighing in, by the way.
Oh, my God. Get Gale on the phone. I'd love to hear what she has to say.
She says it's being called a romp him, not a romper.
Okay,
a
that makes sense. Him. A romp him. We're going to put dibs in a romp yes. him if the price is right.
And, of course, there's profanity within the first three words of her text. So.
Oh, so you had to edit that text.
Of course. Everything's edited with a caner. That's right.
Dave in Mountain View, thank you for calling the program. How do we get this deal done?
Hey, Lo, this is for you. You're a wrestler. You wore rompers when you were wrestling.
I wouldn't. That's why I wouldn't be out. You're right. And it's. I would never leave the gym just walking around in my singlet. You're absolutely 1,000%. So that's why I want to see dibs in this romper. You're right. It was a sight to see.
Thanks for the visual,
Dave. Did you look in the mirror when you were? Did you look in the mirror and say, "Man, I'm looking good"?
I did do that quite often.
Yeah. Yeah,
I must admit.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's similar to a singlet, although this is very stylish. And you would not wear a singlet in public. You're looking good these days, though. You've been cutting weight.
Yeah, trying to.
But you still wouldn't wear a singlet out in public.
Hell no.
Now, to Tim's credit, would you go pick up the twin girls from school in your singlet?
No way. That's
you see the look on his face?
Oh, my God.
All of a sudden, he's like, Dibs, I'm sorry.
They wouldn't walk to the car. They would walk away. It would be everyone. Everyone would be taking pictures. It would be a mess.
Get your incentives. Every 10 photos is $50. People taking photos all over. Plus, every time it ends up on social media, it's another $50.
You can take that $50, roll it up as tight as you can. And
I like the incentivized contract idea because much like Derek Carr, when he gets his deal, there's going to be things in there, bonuses for Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, All Pros, etc. So if I have a solid base number with which I'm working.
I'm only going 300. That's it.
It's not going to do it. I don't know if you're hearing the words that are coming out of my mouth, but that base salary is not going to be sufficient.
If financially it's not enough to get him to do everything you're talking about, the show, the social media, then to lunch, maybe you cut out some of the requirements. Maybe it's just 300 to wear it for the show and take a couple pictures. You could always knock it down that way in negotiating. If you really want him out at that lunch, though, you want him out in public. I can tell that's where the price goes up. The office is one thing. The sanctity of this office is one thing. Kimmy T is the only one that's going to see him in the morning.
Right.
That's the only person that's going to see him in the morning. And then if he tries to slip out of here quickly and he gets those sweats over the romper, it's over. But it could come for a less price, similar to what you're talking about. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Travis Schlenk, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors. He's going to be a general manager one day. He's going to have to make deals like this. Maybe we'll see how he can close the book on this negotiation. You, at one point, when you make the decision to make the jump, you've done such a great job in your career that the general manager hat will come calling. And we need to put you in that position now because you're going to face some tough scenarios. So we figure we're going to try you out. Dibs in Low.
All right.
Dibs, there's a new product, a new male apparel product that's out. It's called the Romper, or more specifically, the Romp Him. It's a romper, but for a man. So it's a one piece you put on. You have it goes mid thigh, and it's a short sleeve shirt, and you button it up in front. We're trying to get Dibs into one, Lois specifically, but Dibs got a price. Dibs isn't willing to even consider the idea inside of $500. But Lois suggesting maybe $300 with lunch and drinks, but he wants Dibs in this thing through the entire show, and then he wants him to wear it to lunch somewhere in San Francisco.
Take a couple pictures.
How do you bring these two sides together so that we can work on a deal? Because I'll tell you what, I'm at wit's end with both of them.
Well, first off, Dibs, it's the radio. You know, you guys could be sitting there, you know, topless, and nobody's going
to
know.
Sadly, Travis, there is an exterior element to all this. I have to walk the streets. I have to be among my colleagues here. There's a public viewing. So it's more than just me being on the radio in my romper.
All right. Well, I mean, I will side with Dibs on this side. In the workplace, he wants to be professional. He wants people to respect him. So I say we make a Saturday morning / brunch. You know, cocktails at the bar. We have maybe we get Dibs to have a show somewhere at a bar during a big game. And you know, you've become the talk of the town, Dibs. The whole Bay Area is talking about you and your courage to go out and sport your new outfit.
I love it, Travis.
I would say that would bring the price down because if Dibs is going to get so much great promo, you don't need to pay him as much love.
Schlenk's got me doing it some sort of show, though.
Travis, you're good.
Like
man.
Wayne Newton in Vegas.
Right, right.
I'm making you the center of attention, man.
Yes.
I'm coming to see you.
He's good.
Yeah. Saturday mimosas. Yes. I love that.
You got to see that romper, totally Travis. You got to go online and check out the rompers. It's not bad. It's just like a little jumpsuit for him, like mid-thigh. So
I've seen him online. Yeah. I do have
the Travis Schlenk with Joe Lowe Dibs.
I haven't ordered mine yet.
Well, let us know when you do and how far you're willing to go with it. Dibs and you can have talk. Maybe we'll get back to the table. We'll figure out the price for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. I have heard you can dress them up or dress them down. So
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.